I'm very happy to be with all of you wonderful Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, very all sincere servants, disciples and grand disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, on this most auspicious day of His appearance day in this world, Srila Vyas Puja Mahotsava. We'll be spending the next few hours in glorification of His Divine Grace for coming into this miserable world, revealing to us the message of Godhead, revealing to us the spiritual domain, spiritual abode of Goloka Vrindavan, giving us literally everything that we have, teaching us to renounce what we don't need, don't want, which is not in our real interest, helping us to embrace this wonderful process of Krishna consciousness, which we're all experiencing just as singing and dancing and feasting and philosophizing about the absolute truth, despite the fact that we're all the burnt remnants of the previous ages. In previous ages, people were more serious about life, about spiritual life, about getting freed from the entanglement of material existence and going back home, back to Godhead. And they practiced their various yuga dharmas, and a good amount of them made it because it was easier, the atmosphere was more conducive, they were more pure of heart. Somehow we're the burnt remnants of those sacrifices, were the leftovers. Who cares about the leftovers? We just leave them there, their destiny. Somehow, Krishna cares, and somehow, His dear representative, Srila Prabhupada, cares, and because of their care, because of their love, because of their infinite compassion, all of us, the burnt remnants, are sitting here today in this sacred abode of Govinda Dweep, now able ourselves to perform those sacred duties of yoga. The burnt remnants have somehow been revived. The phoenix has risen. And those who were considered most unqualified are now qualified to sit before the yoga and chant the mantras and pour the ghee into the fire. This is indeed history, spiritual history in the making. This is miraculous what Srila Prabhupada has known. We are so blessed. And being blessed to perform the sacrifice of this age, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. We have to stop sometimes and think about our good fortune. Life is such that so busy, people are busy with sense gratification, material life. We're busy in Krishna consciousness. In some ways, we're more busy than them. We have so much enthusiasm by Prabhupada's grace for devotional service. But sometimes you have to stop and look around and reflect on your good fortune. Sometimes it's said that familiarity breeds contempt. We don't want to become familiar with this mercy that we have received, but to always be in a state of mind of deep gratitude to our well-wishers, our spiritual masters, Srila Prabhupada, the Vaishnavas, Govindaji, Srimati Radhika, Gornitai. We have to remember the source of our good fortune so that we can become qualified for more good fortune. It is such that if you receive a gift and you don't take the time to express your appreciation for that gift, you might lose that gift. And you may not receive a gift in the future. I know many times my mother was always training me, say thank you. So we have received the greatest gift. Therefore we should be expressing the deepest gratitude. And to whom do we owe everything? Srila Prabhupada. He brought the message of Godhead out of India. India is the best place for Krishna consciousness because, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in Shastra, and Chaitanya Bhagavat, I believe also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, those persons, the most pious persons, most advanced, spiritually advanced persons, they take their birth in Bharatvarsha. In India, it's slowly changing now, but still, they take their birth there. So when Krishna comes, he comes there. He doesn't come to these Western countries where full of mulechas and yavanas and rakshasas. No. He comes where people will listen to the message of Godhead. Others are not qualified to hear. It's like pouring ghee on ashes. What will the effect be of spreading the message of Godhead to those who are not interested in hearing and not qualified to hear? There's no, like Jesus said, don't throw your pearls before the swine. Nevertheless, out of his infinite compassion, taking up the order, the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada left the sanctity, security of Bharatvarsha, India, and he came to the most degraded country in the world, America. America is at the forefront of Kali Yuga materialism. And there, somehow or other, he was able to inject this Krishna consciousness, especially in the youth. And the rest is history. How the whole world, like it or not, they know Krishna. They may like, they may not like. But as Prabhupada said, the poison is there, and it will act, the good poison. Well, somehow or other, we are also part of this chapter of history. These are the modern day pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. We should not think it is anything less than that. These are the modern day pastimes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Because he said, my name will be heard in every town and village of the world. So he predicted that his leelas would go on, the chapters would go on, future chapters. And somehow or other, we have been swept up in the ecstatic devotional service of his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Just like they have that tsunami. Now everyone knows what a tsunami is. Before, who knew what a tsunami was? Tsunami is that terrible wave which, from some earthquake under the sea, huge, tremendous wave just comes crashing down onto the shore, into the land, sometimes 1 or 2 miles into the land. Devastating. So this is a spiritual tsunami, this ecstatic movement of Chaitanya, sweeping everyone off their feet. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. This is history. And somehow or other, inconceivably, everyone sitting in this room is a tiny part of that history. Maybe your name won't go down in the record books. But who wants their name down in the record books anyway? All the credit should go to Prabhupada. We don't want to be known as having done anything. We're just the instruments of Prabhupada's mercy. But Lord notes, he sees how these boys and girls have given up their nasty ways, their bad habits, their speculating, their plans, for the material plans for the future. And they've taken up the service, sometimes austere as it is, as difficult as it is. They told me it was just a halava, sweet rice, and kirtan. So I signed the paper. Little did I know. But because it's service to His Divine Grace, it's just like child's play. Prabhupada wrote to my dear godbrother, great pioneer of Krishna consciousness in this part of the world, other parts of the world, His Divine Grace, Prabhupada Vishnu Swami. He said, I'm hearing you how difficult it is to preach in that England. Sometimes it is cold, sometimes it is snowing, and you're out distributing my books. Sometimes you don't have proper facilities to dress yourself, to sleep, to eat. He said, but because it is service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are enjoying it like child's play. Like children. They'll go out in the rain and play in the puddles. Mother's pulling her hair out. What are you doing? Oh, Mom, it's fun in the puddle. So people, they look at us and they I remember my godbrother Pragosh, he was distributing books in New York City. And one big, big, prominent businessman in New York, he saw him and he stopped and he watched him for a couple of hours. He said, come over here. He said, you are so enthusiastic at what you are doing. And against all odds, you were so successful in what you were doing. If you work for me, I'll give you $100,000 a year. Pragosh just laughed. You don't know the nectar of serving this divine grace, Shri Prabhupada. I wouldn't exchange the service for all the gold in the world. That is difficult sometimes. But joyful, Krishna says, this process. Real religion is joyfully performed. So for this wonderful life, we have been given this causeless mercy to serve such an intimate associate of the Lord, to be counted amongst His few, as Jesus said. Many are called, but few are chosen. So comparatively to the number of people in this world, the servants of Prabhupada are few. And we must, it is our duty, it is our desire, it is our heart's desire to take the time each year to express our gratitude to His Divine Grace. That is Vyasa Puja. Vyasa Puja, you can think the formalities, the rituals, the Vyasa Puja address. Actually, it's a question of the heart. This day is a day of very deep, loving sentiments expressing the inner recesses of our heart to His Divine Grace. Because do we really know Krishna at this stage? We can try to imitate, or let us say, follow in the footsteps of the Vrajavasis. The Prabhupada said, I do not know who is Krishna. I only know my Guru Maharaj. He is the one who's taking me to Krishna. So that we know. Sometimes it may be that in the midst of a great kirtan, a tear comes to our eye chanting Krishna's name. We see the beauty of the deities, especially these deities. They're all so nicely worshipped. Through thick and thin, they've been worshipped. The standard has never decreased. So nice, so beautiful. And our heart starts throbbing. Something, wow, even my heart is throbbing. We're thinking like that. But those moments are rare at our stage. But whenever we think of Guru, whenever we think of Prabhupada, yes, He has delivered me from the ocean of material existence. And He's promising me that in due course of time, I will also dance in that Leela in the spiritual world. He's so kind. So we have to take the time to reflect on our good fortune. And we have to take the time to express our gratitude to Sri Prabhupada. And in many ways, I know, at least for myself, and I know so many of my godbrothers and godsisters, and all of you who are Prabhupada's grandchildren. One time Prabhupada said, the grandfather is even more kind than the father. The relationship between the grandfather and the children. So you're thinking, oh, Prabhupada's disciples had some special mercy. And I think you have the special mercy. Prabhupada is especially favorable upon you, who you could say came a little late. But one time Prabhupada told us in Detroit, he said, the best will come last. I couldn't understand what he was saying. And now I know. For all of us, members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Prabhupada disciples, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, congregation, friends of Krishna, newcomers, there's one girl here, she just met us a few days ago, I think at the festival in Dublin. Somehow she's here, trying to understand, but experiencing the wonderful atmosphere of Krishna consciousness. It will all come gradually. All of us, even we've been here one day, we can see the difference between material life and spiritual life. And we want, our heart is just bursting with enthusiasm to say to Prabhupada, thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for everything you've given me, that you're giving me now, and that you will grace me with in the future. We just want to, that's love. Love is just the process of expressing our appreciation for the other party. You don't really know what is love until you come to Krishna consciousness. We don't know what real love is. Love in this world is back scratching. That's all. I scratch your back, you scratch mine. Love in the spiritual world means I give you my all, and I'm happy if you're happy. That's it. And that's our constitutional position. So we are completely satisfied. Yayatma supersedati. Savai pumsham pada dharmo yato bhaktir doksaje. Ahaitukiya patiyata. Yayatma supersedati. That ancient Sanskrit shloka. There in the pages of the Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam. Who in the West would ever understand such a transcendental mystery, such a rich jewel of wisdom, of knowledge, had not it been for Srila Prabhupada? Yayatma Shuprashidati. When you serve Radha Govinda, Lord of your heart, when you serve their pure representatives, when you do devotional service, ah yes, finally after millions and millions and millions of births, Shantushti, I'm happy. And to whom do I owe this gratitude? His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. So that, the real meaning of Vyasa Puja, it's an exchange of the loving sentiments of the heart. Prabhupada has given us his heart. He has not kept anything. Like in the Vivaha Yajna, there's that shloka, in the ceremony where the woman says to the man, I will not conceal anything from you. I will share with you all that I have. That is part of her vow to the husband. I will not conceal anything from you, and I will share with you all that I have. That's the nature of love. And the perfect embodiment of transcendental love is Srila Prabhupada, who did not conceal anything from us. Maybe he waited to the appropriate moment, or he's waiting until the appropriate moment for us to be prepared to hear it and practice it. That's only a natural part of the process. But he's there to give us everything. He said one time, everything is there in my books. And those who think otherwise are foolish. As Sanatan Goswami says in the Brihat Bhagavatamita, that to the loyal and faithful disciple, the glories of Golok may be explained. It's only a question of time. Some time. It's only time is separating, the man said on the bench. When Prabhupada will share with us the most intimate secrets, the most intimate treasure of his heart, he's only waiting. As I often quote, he said one time, I have a plan to take over the world in 18 days. And the devotee said, well, let's go, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, no, you're not qualified yet. So we have to catch up. And then Prabhupada's mission in this world, to give Krishna consciousness to every living entity, will be successful. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, he would not be satisfied until all the 14 worlds we're chanting Hare Krishna. So as his followers, we cannot rest easy. Even we may have accomplished something in our lifetime for his divine, even something very big it seems. We cannot rest on our laurels, as they say in Greece. You get, for your victory, you get to wear the olive branch around your head. So you can't sit on that and think, oh, I have done something. No. There's so much work to be done. Until all the judges in the courthouse in London are wearing tilak on their foreheads, until the Gurukul system has been introduced in all the schools, until the government has closed down the brothels and the slaughterhouses and the gambling casinos, until the population, before they go to work, is very serious to finish their 16 rounds. Until there's a temple with beautiful vigraha of Radha and Krishna in every town and village, Prabhupada's followers will not rest. Well, you can't think, yeah, I have done my bit. What have you done? You can only judge according to How many people have hearts have been touched? And if there's still some souls out there whose hearts haven't been touched, then our duty to His divine grace is not done. We can talk about sentiment and love, but this is how love begins. Love begins through a service attitude. And we have lots of service to do in delivering the conditioned souls to be recognized by Srila Prabhupada, to get His mercy, to love Radha and Krishna. It is not something cheap to go through the authorized process of shadhan bhakti and service to Guru and Gauranga. And for that, you get kripa, you get mercy. So everyone has the opportunity for mercy. Big and small, we all have our destiny. We are situated in a particular body and time, place and circumstance. And everyone can serve the Lord accordingly and do something to help the Sankirtan movement. Sankirtan means the complete glorification of the Lord. Prabhupada has set it up in such a way that everyone can do something. Even a dog, Prabhupada said, can render service by barking, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. So yesterday we said that the whole world, one day the whole world should know about Janmashtami, about how God Himself, Swayam Bhagavan, comes in this world. They should know about that. But those of us who are followers of Prabhupada, we should also have a burning desire in our heart that they also know who is revealing this knowledge of Krishna to the world. Who revealed the fact that Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam, that Krishna comes into the world and gave the world the process to love Him and go back to His eternal abode. We also want the world to know this day as well, Prabhupada's appearance day. In some ways it's even closer to our heart, because Prabhupada's mercy is closer now, in the sense that Krishna's mercy comes through Srila Prabhupada. One who says he's my devotee is not my devotee, but one who says he's a devotee, he's my devotee. So we want the whole world to know who is Srila Prabhupada, because just as you can get the Lord's mercy, although He's not here, when was He last here? Oh, 500 years ago, 5,000 years ago. You can still get His mercy. You follow His instructions, you get His mercy. Oh, Prabhupada, I missed Him. No, but He's still available. His mercy is still there. One time He wrote to me. Prabhupada came to the temple and I was running some service to Prabhupada. Then He left and my heart, oh, I felt, I was just a kid, 19 years old. First time I really felt some love, some feelings of separation. It was overwhelming. I wrote, Prabhupada, I'm missing you. I wanted to get initiated, but I was 1 month shy of the formal date. And my dear Bhakta Brian, he wrote back, please accept my blessings. I am in due receipt of your letter dated July 17th, 1971. I thank you for your kind donation of $10, which is all I had to my book. I have information from the senior men that you are doing very nicely in Krishna consciousness. So my instruction is that you follow in the footsteps of advanced devotees, he wrote. And in due course of time, he said, do not worry, he said, I will accept you as my duly initiated disciple. He said, and I can also understand, he wrote, your feelings of separation, he said, from me as my disciple. He said, because I am also feeling separation from my Guru Maharaj. He said, but I always feel that He is watching over and protecting me. Your every well-wisher. He wrote this in AC, Bhakti Vinod. Like the whole quarter part of the page at the bottom. So that was my keepsake, that letter. It kept it with me everywhere. So I could understand that relationship transcends time. It transcends even death. There's no, these things cannot come between the hearts of transcendentalists. No. We live on a different platform than this gross material nature. And the relationship is living, it's active, and that is there for everyone who comes. Prabhupada's mercy is available for everyone. So today is a day of showing our gratitude. We're going to hear from Prabhupada disciples, we're going to hear from his grandchildren and others expressing their love for his divine grace, and then we're going to dance in ecstasy glorifying him. We're going to offer him a cake, we're going to offer him some prasad, and he's so kind, as he always does, he's going to leave us lots of remnants, lots of mercy, which we want devour with great enthusiasm. So all glories to Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja festival, and all glories to all of Prabhupada's sincere servants who have assembled here today and in so many temples throughout the world to offer their praise to him. So I thought we would just read shortly one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, which was spoken thousands of years ago, which very nicely describes our own spiritual master. And we'll speak a little bit, and then also then we'll have our offerings. I know a lot of you have written offerings, so we'll read those offerings to his divine grace, etc. So let us read from the first canto of the Bhagavatam, 13th chapter, entitled Dhritarashtra Quits Home, text number 10. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavatash Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibhu Tirti Kurvanti Tirtani Shanta Shnena Gadabrita Bhavad Vidha Bhagavatash Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibhu Tirti Kurvanti Tirthani Shvantastena Gadabrita. Translation: my Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. Purport: the personality of Godhead is omnipresent by his diverse potencies everywhere, just as the power of electricity is distributed everywhere within space. Similarly, the Lord's omnipresence is perceived and manifested by his unallied devotees like Vidur, just as electricity is manifested in an electric bulb. A pure devotee like Vidura always feels the presence of the Lord everywhere. He sees everything in the potency of the Lord and the Lord in everything. The holy places all over the earth are meant for purifying the polluted consciousness of the human being by an atmosphere surcharged with the presence of the Lord's unalloyed devotees. If anyone visits a holy place, he must search out the pure devotees residing in such holy places and take lessons from them. Try to apply such instructions in practical life, and thus gradually prepare oneself for the ultimate salvation of going back to Godhead. To go to some holy place of pilgrimage does not mean only to take a bath in the Ganges or Yamuna, or to visit temples situated in those places. One should also find representatives of Vidura, who have no desire in life save and except to serve the personality of Godhead. The personality of Godhead is always with such pure devotees because of their unalloyed service, which is without any tinge of fruitive action or utopian speculation. They are in the actual service of the Lord, specifically by the process of hearing and chanting. The pure devotees hear from authorities and chant, sing, and write of the glories of the Lord. Mahamuni Vyasadeva heard from Narada, and then he chanted in writing. Shukadeva Goswami studied from his father, and he described it to Parikshit. That is the way of Srimad Bhagavatam. So by their actions, the pure devotees of the Lord can render any place into a place of pilgrimage. And the holy places are worth the name only on their account. Such pure devotees are able to rectify the polluted atmosphere of any place, and what to speak of a holy place rendered unholy by the questionable actions of interested persons who try to adopt professional life at the cost of the reputation of that holy place. Om Agyan Timirandasya Ginangana Shilakaya Chaksurimiritam Jainatasmai Sigurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Jaina Bhutale Shwayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Shvabanantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare So today is a day for speaking about Prabhupada. Our beloved spiritual master. One could not ask for a more pleasant subject matter than glorifying the spiritual master. This is especially true when we think of Srila Prabhupada, who is the foremost devotee in this movement. He is the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And although many spiritual masters are now present by His grace, and many spiritual masters will come in the future, their service to this movement is all built upon the foundation which Prabhupada gave. Everything that the spiritual masters in ISKCON are doing or will do, it's all based on Prabhupada's living example when he was here, on his books, on his instructions. This is the meaning of Founder Acharya. He sets the standard for spiritual life in his institution. Our spiritual master is also called Prabhupada. Prabhupada. Sometimes we use the name a lot, but again, it's important to stop and reflect. What does it mean, Prabhupada? Pada means feet, and Prabhu means master. So Prabhupada means that person at whose feet all the other spiritual masters sit. We think of the disciple sitting at the feet of the master. That's the traditional, you know, there's the master, and then there's the disciples, and they're hearing from Guru. Well, here's a situation where all the spiritual masters, they sit at the feet of this one master. And that is significant. That's Prabhupada. All the revered spiritual masters, because the spiritual master is to be revered. In the eyes of the disciple, he is like Krishna incarnate. Not in the sense that he's Krishna, but he's the full embodiment of Krishna's mercy. It comes to the transparent via medium of the Guru. Krishna comes to the disciple through the Guru, Sakshad Hari. So the Guru is to be revered at all times, at all places, under all circumstances. But those esteemed, revered, illustrious personalities who are serving in the capacity of Guru, they're sitting at the feet of this one Guru, Prabhupada. That is the meaning of Prabhupada. A master at whose feet all the other masters sit. It's a very special title. I mentioned a few years ago that when Srila Prabhupada was just establishing our movement in Vrindavan, in International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He came back. He wanted a place in Vrindavan where his followers could come and absorb the spiritual atmosphere. So he created the Krishna Balaram Mandir in the soft sands of Ramanreti. And on the opening day, I remember, there was a big sign on the road, and the disciples had made this big sign: "Everyone welcome to the inauguration of the Krishna Balaram Mandir of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada." We're used to it now. But on one morning walk, the devotees were walking with Prabhupada, and before the opening, and Prabhupada, he looked at the sign, his eyes would become very big sometimes. His eyes got very big. He said, "Oh, you have written Prabhupada. My godbrothers will kill me." Because that was the affectionate title which they gave their spiritual master. So they were, the disciples saying, "How you can take that?" They will think, "How you can take?" But we understand how Prabhupada could take that title. They asked Prabhupada, you know, he was called Swamiji for so long. Affectionate, but they thought maybe there's many Swamis, so the original disciples, they said, "So, Swamiji, is there something, you know, a more honorific title that we want to see you in some honorific?" So he said, "Yeah, I will think." Oh, it could have been Vishnupad or Gurupad or Gurudev, or, but Prabhupada said, "You can call me Prabhupada." Very bold, transcendentally bold. But just as a qualified king eventually hands over his kingdom and title to a worthy son, the prince becomes, in due course of time, because he's a good fighter, he's a good politician, he becomes the king. So Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati has no doubt blessed our Prabhupada to continue his mission. And in doing so, history has shown what he has done. He becomes the master at whose feet all the other masters sit. It was not known. He says he is the self-effulgent Acharya. Not by decree. Everyone has come together. "Yes, well, I nominate, take a vote," and, you know, "No, yeah." By dint of his self-effulgence, his service to Bhakti Sananda Saraswati, he has become Prabhupada. They didn't know. I'm sure that Bhakti Sananda Saraswati knew. Once when Prabhupada was still a Grihastha, some of his sannyasi godbrothers, they complained to Bhakti Siddhanta because our Prabhupada was getting so much attention from him. There was something there. This is the Leela. There was some relationship that from the very beginning, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was very affectionate to our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. He would take walks with him and he would reveal his mind. This is difficult, the preaching, you know, those days. The caste system and, you know, the Ramakrishna mission and the worship of Durga. There's all these things that have now pretty much gone in the background in the presence of Gauranga Mahaprabhu's movement. But that, at that time in history, it was difficult to preach. They had their own set of problems. And sometimes Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati would reveal his mind to our Prabhupada. Oh, yeah. "There will be fire in the moth. If you ever get money, Abai, you print books." He could foresee. So because of that, some of the Maharajas, they complained one day, "This Abai, he's just Grihastha. He's not opening temples. He's not making converts. He's just giving some donations from his pharmaceutical business." And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, we hear, became very angry. He said, "Stop! In the end, this Abhai, he will do everything." It's a Trigana Kal. It means that the pure devotee, he can see the past, he can see the present, he can see the future. This is something mystical. Again, this is a special treat. This is why Krishna consciousness is so nectarian. We get this special insight into the hearts of pure devotees, into the heart of Govindaji, into the spiritual world. These things are just, it is all causeless mercy. How, what is our qualification? It is unfathomable. I don't know how it's all happening. And we know how dear Prabhupada was to Bhaktisananda Saraswati. He asked him to preach in the medium of the English language. And such a disciple he was. He not only successfully preached in the English language, he preached in 50 other languages as well. That is what we call in when I was in the military, we were always being pushed by our platoon leader to do above and beyond the call of duty. In the Marines, they have this sense of valor. We will do above and beyond the call of duty. Oh, this is a nice soldier. So in Lord Chaitanya's army, we sometimes refer to it as a war on Maya, you know, the bombs, the books, all that. Here's a soldier who took the order of Guru to spread Krishna consciousness in English, and he went on to spread it in French and German and Spanish and Chinese and Japanese and Swahili and Tupu and Koja. That's one syllable they have. Like in Africa they have one tribe, it's called the Koja. That's one of their syllables, one of their words. Like, you know, we have consonants and Koja. So you have Bhagavad Gita. God, Lord said. And then when that was successful, Prabhupada went back to India and he revived, for all practical purposes, he revived, or he's maintaining some sanity in that country who was mad for Sanskrit. He's maintaining a sanity of Vedic culture through his Juhu Beach, Radharasa Biharaji, Krishna Balaram, Vajsham Sundar, Radhamara, Tirupati, you know. That was his own mission. He went back. Prabhupada said, I had my own mission. I wanted to go back. He told us to Bhakti Churumaraj. I wanted to go back to Bengal. Not see Bengal go to hell because of the communists, but to go to heaven, to go to the spiritual world, by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So because he demonstrated himself to be the best disciple, he became the best example of a spiritual master. Prabhupada said, he who hears well, he'll speak well. When it came time for Prabhupada's candidacy, came up for initiation. So we have this one, Bhakti Saraswati, we have this one, so, and we have this Abhaycharan, oh yes, I'll accept him. Oh, he hears well. He hears well. There's so many stories how Prabhupada would always stay and hear from his Guru Maharaj. He hears well. Oh, okay. Quite simply, the best disciple is the one who makes the words of the spiritual master one with his heart. Heart can be taken like life. So he got the life's instruction. Before he just offered his obeisances on the rooftop of that apartment building in Calcutta. I saw that place. It's kind of dilapidated now. There's this, actually the whole structure is not there now, but the steps were there. We probably bowed our head on the steps that Prabhupada walked on. And as etiquette is, even amongst those who are not so inclined, spiritual life, the etiquette is when a sadhu is there in saffron, who embodies the culture, then you offer your obeisances, you bow down. Bow down, mister. So, Prabhupada, the student and follower of Gandhi, he was full Gandhian movement. Kicked the British out. Swaraj, independence. He was really into it. He came, this is the Leela, and he saw this sadhu, his friend brought him to the meeting. He paid obeisances. And even before his head was off the ground, Bhaktisananda Saraswati recognized his eternal servant. He said, young man, you look like a qualified person to take this movement all over the world. He's dressed in cutties and get the British out. So some argument ensued. What? Prabhupada said, you're speaking of Mahaprabhu. We have to liberate our country from these damn British. They've been here for hundreds of years, and he was defeated. He said, I was very happy to be defeated by my Guru Maharaj. Bhaktisananda Saraswati said, no. He said, the British are here, but what's most important in life is Krishna consciousness. It is so important, it cannot wait even for the British to leave. There's always some upheaval in this world. Always some excuse for not surrendering to Krishna. Procrastinating, I have to do this, that, and everything, and then I will chant. No. First things first, we say, in English. First thing first. So, the first thing is Krishna. So he was so happy. And they're walking away, and his friend said, so how did you like that, sadhu? And Prabhupada said, now I have met a genuine sadhu. He said, I have met my spiritual master. So, of course, Bhaktisananda Saraswati Thakur, he saw more than an educated man. He had the vision to see into the heart of Prabhupada and knew he was his eternal servant. Guru Govinda Maharaj said one time in Hungary, he said, there's two kinds of liberated souls who come to this world. There's the one who, out of his own compassion, he leaves the spiritual sky, Paramovya. He leaves that a place and he comes and he mingles with the masses and he preaches Krishna consciousness. And then Guru Govinda Maharaj said, and there's that resident of the spiritual sky who was asked by the Lord to come to the material world. And that's our Prabhupada. He was asked by Krishna. He was actually asked. Prabhupada revealed at another intimate moment. He was in the quarantine in Bombay Airport because they'd forgotten his yellow fever vaccination certificate in Africa. So they thought maybe they had to see if he had the fever or not. So they had to wait 14 days in the airport. And he told Bhavananda, he said, I did not want to come to this nasty place. And Bhavananda was like, so bad, because he forgot the yellow vaccination certificate on the desk in the Bombay temple, in the Nairobi temple. So I'm so sorry, Prabhupada, I forgot the yellow fever vaccination. No, not this place. This whole world, this whole material world, did not want to come here. You didn't want to come? No, Krishna asked me to come. Oh, Krishna asked me to come. He got a little closer. You know. Yeah, I told Krishna I'm not so inclined to austerity. Bhavananda told me this story. I'm not so inclined towards austerity. Vaishnava, we're not so inclined in austerity. We have four rules, and you know, basically everything else is chanting and dancing. Rules indeed, but we're not so into austerity. But Krishna told me, no, you don't worry about anything. You go down there and you write books on the science of Krishna consciousness and I will arrange everything else. So there's a nice example, Guru Govinda Maharaj, also pure devotee, advanced, very, we did not know actually, Guru Govinda Maharaj. Our society was not able to recognize what a wonderful servant of Prabhupada he was, how much he had to give. So he left to give elsewhere. But yes, Prabhupada was chosen to come with to carry on this tradition which has been going on for thousands and thousands of years. It all began with this Bhagavatam. It's written in the Bhagavatam, this message of Godhead will act like to create a spiritual revolution in the lives of the world's misdirected population. A revolution. The Beatles, you say you want a revolution, well, you know, we all want to save the world. Yeah, we were all, yeah, revolution. We didn't know what revolution meant. Prabhupada said, to take the Krishna consciousness means to declare war on the material energy. Daivyesha gunamayi mamamaya duratyaya. So, this is the real revolution. And that started with the Bhagavatam. And it's come down through the ages through all these saints and sages. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wrote one song. Kripa Moya sings it very nicely in London. This chain of disciplic succession coming down from the Lord Himself. So this is all, it's the history. But to take that message out of India, whoa, that requires somebody very powerful. There's a injunction in the Shastras that a sadhu should not cross beyond the borderline of Bharat. Because too dangerous. As soon as you leave India, the further you go, the darker the ignorance becomes. India is the motherland of our religion. We know Jesus went there, and Muhammad took his teachings from those biblical writings, and Buddha appeared there, and whatever there is, it's religion. It all comes, really, they may not agree, but we know it comes from India. India is like the light, the guiding light. But the further you go from the candle, the darker it becomes. So sadhu, don't leave the security of India. He probably just got on the boat and he sailed to America with nothing. Nothing but faith in the holy name and the instructions of his spiritual master. This is all you need to live, because real life is Krishna consciousness. You can live with the basic necessities of life. I've traveled to parts of the world where people have nothing. They're just as happy as the kids playing in the fancy parks of New York City or Paris. They're just as happy. They got a little rubber ball and they're kicking it around. You know, happiness is not in material objects. Happiness is in spiritual life. You have everything, but you don't have Krishna consciousness, you'll be miserable. But if you have Krishna consciousness and just one loincloth around your waist, gentlemen, like the Goswamis in your mala, you'll be the happiest man on earth. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. A place to lay down, some buttermilk to drink, and just there on the banks of Radhakund, Hare Krishna, Radhe Radhe. For preaching we need all this phantasmagoria. But we should know, we shouldn't become attached to it. It's the Lord's house. We're just the servants. We have our servants' quarters. It's all His. We never think for a moment anything belongs to us. So, again, it's significant that Prabhupada appeared the day he did. We'll repeat it because it's so nice that Nanda Baba, after the appearance of Krishna, I had to give him the charity. Oh, thy son, my son, take the cow, take this. So this is Krishna's charity to the world. His, as the Christians say, we can also borrow the term, because his only begotten son. Oh, the father can have many sons. And Jesus is a special son, no doubt, because he accepted the sins of his followers. Prabhupada's ready to accept the sins of the whole world, like Vasudev Dutt. So what kind of son is he? Of course, in the beginning he got the order, but he wasn't active, because he was teaching us in so many ways how to be good Grihastra. He was very dutiful in his Grihastra ashram, because most of you are Grihastras. That is the natural, gradual way of renunciation. It is the honorable way of dealing with material desires. So Prabhupada taught how to be responsible, Grihastra. But he kept that instruction of Bhakti Sanana Saraswati in his heart. Sometimes you see, like my dear friend Shamlo, the tradition in India, whenever he gets, he puts it in his kurtah pocket. It could be like an important document, you know. You see in India, they take the thing, they put it in their kurtah pocket, in a big bulging pocket like this, right? And ladies, they take and they put in their choli like that. Right? In India, it's not considered unchaste. They just take it, they put it there, because no one will take. So Prabhupada, he took the most precious thing, and where did he put it? In his heart. He put it in his heart, and he kept it there. And one day, he was reading Bhagavad Gita. Our spiritual master also reads the books. He was reading, and he was reading the commentary, which is now available, actually, of Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, who said that, in the purport, that one should take the order of the spiritual master as his life and soul. This should be our life and soul. Not that we have our life and we have Krishna consciousness. We have our life and we have our spiritual master's service. No, our life is our spiritual master's service. We have to make the necessary adjustments to try to fulfill that service as best we can, according to time, place, and service. But it shouldn't be any confusion. Once you get the Harinam Diksha, you get the Kunti Mala around your neck, you get the Mala, you get the blessing to chant Hare Krishna, you sold your life. There's that song, I sold my life to the company store. Don't they know that over here? In America we have. St. Peter came to give me because I can't go. I sold my soul to the company store. Oh. We're very happy. And Gurudev, that's not my life. This is your life. You do with it. What do you want me to do with this life of yours? Whatever. I have no... This is your life. You do with it as you want. You want me to go to Africa? I go to Africa. You want me to go to China? I go to China. You want me to go... I go. You want this? You want me to get married? Okay. You want to take sannyasa? Whatever. Mahaprabhu told Nityananda, you get married now. This example is necessary. We've sold our life to the spiritual. That's what these beads mean. They're the dog collar. We don't lament, oh, I'm a dog. Yeah, I'm a dog. Because, yes, Prabhupada takes very good care of his puppies. Just like there was the puppy outside. Prince Edwards? What's his name?
Charming.
Huh?
Charming.
Prince Charming. What a cool name for a dog. I liked that dog. I was playing with him, you know, and I had to go wash my hands afterward. He was so cute. And he was healthy. Whose dog is that?
Happy Days.
Oh, yeah. He's a happy dog. And also you have your Kalki. What's his name? Kalidas?
Kalidas, yeah.
He's also a cool dog. He's a happy little guy chasing those deer across the river. He's happy because he's loved. He's a dog. He doesn't come in the temple. He has his place. But, you know, he's a happy doggy. He's kind of a little fatty, and his hair is real nice. He's got bright eyes. Because he's Radha Govinda's servant. And he's given probably some extra prasad and this and that. And he's happy doing his service of chasing the deer around and around and around. So you don't think, oh, this unfortunate dog. There's so many unfortunate dogs. But like Prabhupada said on the beach in Bombay, he said, you see those scraggly dogs over there? You see that fluffy, happy white dog? What's the difference? I don't know. I said, one has a master and the other doesn't. If you have master, then that means you have mercy. And what you do with it, that's up to you, how you will utilize it. Prabhupada utilized it to serve his spiritual master, and after reading that purport, he began writing articles about Krishna consciousness. And one friend, he said, I think that these articles are very nice, but it's better if you preach to the medium of books. Oh, why? Because books are permanent. They stay. The magazine's here and it's gone. But the book, no one has a pile of magazines, because we have our piles of Back to Godhead magazines. But the book, it is something permanent. It's handed down generation after generation after generation. Something sacred like that. So, then he started preaching. And then we know his household life went awry. It went, it was all, who knows how, why, but it happened. And he left home and he lived in Vrindavan like a beggar. Because in Vrindavan we are beggars. We don't mind. Oh, you're a beggar. Thank you, sir. I'm begging Radha and Krishna's mercy. Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. I'm that kind of beggar. I've given up everything, living this lonely life in Vrindavan with no possessions and just calling out for Kripa and mercy. He said he was very happy there. Very happy living that simple life as Chaitanya taught. And then he came. Then he left. He left for us. And he was so successful. Like Pontius Pilate said to Jesus Christ, he was there in the court. He said, I don't know if I should have you crucified or I should let you live. He said, I don't know if you're more dangerous, dead or alive. That's where the term martyr came. Because when a man is martyred, then his followers, they become really excited. No, we'll show them, we'll continue his teachings. You know, so to become a martyr is a... So we see that even after Prabhupada's departure, everything is going on. Sometimes, maybe not sometimes, more than sometimes, there's slip-ups, there's mistakes. But as long as there's sincere devotees like all of you, things will go on. Have no doubt. It will go on. It may go slower, but it will go on. And when Prabhupada's followers become pure in heart and free from any personal motivation, and they become spiritually strong, and they can follow their vows and chant their rounds and find time for pushing on, then we'll see how Prabhupada's mercy is available there. Who is this person? Who is Śrīla Prabhupāda? I remember when I was young and Prabhupada would come to the temple, and he was so... I would, even from any angle of vision, you could appreciate Prabhupada. It's like a Vaidurya stone. You turn that Vaidurya stone, the light's coming through, you get the green, the blue, the red, the yellow, and the mixtures. It's so amazing, the crystal. So any angle of vision that you study, the character, the life, the example, the teachings of Śrīla Prabhupāda, you cannot but be amazed. Even some gross atheist, even some agnostic, they also can appreciate Prabhupada. When Shyamasundar was walking across the street with Prabhupada in London, the bobby, the policeman said, "Oh look, your teacher's glowing like the sun." And I saw it in Paris when the French philosophers would come to argue. They would be humbled by Prabhupada's preaching, by his presence, by his etiquette. So, there's no conclusion to this argument, he'd say, take prasad. And they love the prasad. They go out beaming. I'll tell your guru, thank you so much. Any angle that you look at him, and if you are very advanced, if you're Rasik Bhakta, you can look into the heart of Prabhupada and see, oh, how, what an intimate associate he is that he was entrusted with such a mission. When you have a mission, and it's very important, you call your best man. When the British were attacking America, or the Americans were rebelling against the British, we had Paul Revere, as he was chosen, to go through all the towns. He was an expert horseman, brave soul, good fighter. So that the British patrols were everywhere. So he was going to the countryside. The British are coming. I shouldn't tell this here. The British is Northern England. The British are coming. The British are coming. And he dodged it all, and he lived to tell it. He was chosen. So who would be chosen to come here and take the message of Śrīla Vyāsadeva and all the great acharyas down through the centuries, the 50 centuries? We now pass the Olympic torch to you. You know, they take the torch from country to country. You shall be the bearer of this torch of transcendental. You shall represent all this disciplic succession. Go forward and be blessed. That's a Prabhupada. One time they asked Prabhupada, who are you in the spiritual world? He started laughing. If I told you, you'd faint. But we know, Ebayash Gukshatri Bhuvana. He's glorified all over the three worlds. Not just here in Govindadweep, or in Soho, or in the Manor, Paris, or Durban, or Sydney, Brisbane, Shanghai. No. Ebayash Gukshatri Bhuvana. There are living beings on these higher planets. Don't think because they're sending all these satellites to the moon and they have their Mars rover. You can go online, you can see the shots of the moon. The bricks are right in front of your nose. They have the rovers there, and now they're going to go here. There. Don't think, this has proven our philosophy wrong. No. We don't accept their imperfect minds, the conclusions of the imperfect minds and limited senses. Somehow or other, it's all wrong, and the Bhagavatam and the pure devotees are right. So, Ebayash Gukshatri Bhuvana, these devatas, they're there. Maybe it's a subtle world which you cannot perceive with your gross material senses. Maybe the world they're discovering is just to get them off track so they don't bother the demigods. Whatever. It's there. And these devotees, this A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, look what he's done on the Earth planet. Earth planet is a popular place in this universe. Because it's like here, there's just enough misery so you don't get too, you know, taking life too easy. And it's just enough facility that you can practice Krishna consciousness. It's the perfect place for self-realization. And India is the best place on Earth. So that, you know, there are a lot of sages come here, incarnations come here, sages come here. There's a lot of books, Upanishads, Vedas, Itihashas, Gita. It's all here. They're always talking like, you know, Earth. You know, they forgot about it for a while. They forgot about the Earth. It's just gone to hell. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu came. He said, "We will make heaven on Earth," and the tradition carried on. And then Prabhupada did the most amazing thing. The peak of all that preaching was, now it will spread. Because before, you know, all the good, they didn't go. Prabhupada was the first to go. So now they're whispering, "Oh, this is great. Let us offer our dandavat pranam to this A.C. Bhaktivedanta." These people are, these devotees are interested in yajna, so what a yajna this is. The whole world is chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
And Bhakti Vinod Thakur said, you can judge, we don't want to judge, but you can judge the character of a Vaishnava by how many devotees he can make, how many hearts he can touch with Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada, how many? He had 5,000 disciples. Now he has, how many grand disciples does he have? He must have so many. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands. And more in line, waiting. They don't know it yet. Like this beautiful young girl, she came. She didn't know. She came to the Rath Yatra. She saw the festival. What is this? She heard some philosophy. Now she's sitting at Krishna's feet, and we pray that by Prabhupada's mercy she'll stay in Krishna consciousness and join us in Prabhupada's mission and go back to the spiritual world. This movement is meant for that. Sometimes people criticize. I heard one boy, he said, "No, it is not ISKCON, it's WASKCON." No. Mistakes are made, and it's understandable, any institution. Institution means the doors are wide open. It's not like a bhajan kutir, you close it. Bhajan institution means the doors are open, and you have to expect people are going to come in with dirty shoes. There's going to be problems. There's going to be tragedies. The Prabhupada said one time, it's better to rectify than it is to remove. And so it is that there are sincere souls who are within the movement who are carrying on. And the mistakes are gradually being rectified, and even there are places where mistakes have not been made, and the pure strain of Krishna consciousness is going on. And those devotees who take that burden of responsibility, they're to be honored. How proud Prabhupada must be of Radhanath Swami, Giriraj Swami, Jayapataka Maharaj, Niranjan Swami, Prabhu Vishnu Swami. They just keep going on and on, and you know, I knew them when they were young boys. Now they're gray, maybe a little heavy set and wrinkled, but you don't see, you look in their eyes, they have the same youthful enthusiasm for preaching Krishna consciousness. And any and all disciples are to be honored. It's not just those who do big services should be honored. No. Everyone should be honored. Those disciples who, men and women, who continue to follow their vows, like Devadatta, he took the vow, "I will not marry, Father." So you marry that sadhu's daughter, and then let her son be the prince, the next king. I take a vow of brahmacharya. Bhishma! Bhishma! The demigod was telling him, he took that vow. It was called horrible vow. Ugra. The karmis are thinking, what a horrible vow. We're thinking, ah, nectar. To be free from all of that business so we can practice, give our lives to Krishna consciousness. In grihastha life is also that same mood of renunciation, working together. Kamoshmi, I am that sex, Krishna says, which is not contrary to Rudra's principles. Raising such beautiful children as we saw yesterday here. Such nice. And the teenagers, I was so impressed. The young chaste girls dancing so nicely and helping in the service. Very impressive. So that's that vow. That is, to take that vow, to maintain that vow, to chant your rounds, to follow the principles, that should be honored, because anyone who can do that is a special soul. Why? Daivyesha gunamayi mamamaya dharatyaya. Krishna, he says, God says, he puts a stamp. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, it's very difficult to overcome. He says, so to take some vow, some spiritual vow, it's almost against the grain of life. Material life. It's like going against the flow. When you try to go up the river, instead of flowing down, you go up, you fight the river to go up. That's what it means to practice Krishna consciousness in the material world. It's not easy. So there may be some Mataji in her apartment with her baby, and who knows her? Who ever heard of her? And she's raising her child, she's cooking for the baby, keeping the house clean, giving some words of appreciation, her husband comes home. But she's strict and she chants, and she should get the same recognition as the man on top. Everyone. And the grand disciples also, they should also be recognized. Nicely following Prabhupada's representative, taking Prabhupada's mission to heart. These are sincere souls, and all of them must be glorified. So this movement will go on because there's so many sincere souls. As long as there's sincere souls like you, all of you here, who are willing to work so hard to maintain and spread the teachings, the movement will go on. Not just preaching, but to maintain. Because when we preach, we it's almost like, it's just philosophy. Okay, well, it's very nice. Can I see it somewhere? They say that example is higher than precept. So we're going out and we're distributing books and we're doing festivals and we're doing programs. This wonderful life of Krishna consciousness. Oh, can I see it? No. Seeing is believing, sir. Yeah, come to Govinda Dweep. Here you'll see Krishna consciousness. You'll see the pages of Bhagavatam. You'll see the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita. You'll see them come to life. You can come and you can see Krishna. My dear Lord, you're not a statue, you're directly the son of Maharaj Nanda. Srimati Radhika. You'll see all of Gornita. So to preach and to maintain is equally important. Equally important. So those devotees who are doing the service of maintaining Govinda Dweep, on the same level as the Maharati book distributors that we hear about around the world, all glorious to their service. To maintain takes great spiritual strength. Like Prabhupada said, Brahma can create, Shiva can destroy, only Vishnu can maintain the creation. It takes such potency, such spiritual potency. So a nice example of a devotee who's maintaining is your Mataji, Mother Mahamantra. What service she's done here all these years, through the thick and the thin, because I hear some of the stories. Devotees don't want to scare me, so they don't tell me too much. I hear some of the yatra stories, you know, like everywhere you go. But I know that difficult times here, there were some very difficult times. And Mother Mahamantra, she remained always fixed in the service of Govinda Dev. And therefore, I think this community is still here today because of her service. If the deities are nicely maintained and worshipped, cleanliness, very clean and regulated, and the office as best you can, sometimes there's no money, but the bhakti is there. So I have no doubt for that service that she's rendered here, she'll go back to Godhead in this lifetime. for sure. I have no doubt. I don't even know her. I've never been introduced to her, I don't think. But I know of her. I've heard of her service. And I've seen the deities here. So here's a grand disciple of Prabhupada. I have no doubt that by Prabhupada's mercy, she's going back to Godhead for that one service. And you take the walk around the park and you see all the... That was also her idea, I heard. And her Dinabandhu Ji, who comes here. So she has already that Braj Bhakti. So when you see examples like that of little known devotees who have done such significant service and have that Krishna consciousness is coming, that Braj, that taste for that lolium, that greed for Vrindavan is there, then you know, yes, ISKCON is a bona fide movement. ISKCON, 40 years down the road, is still producing pure devotees. Then you have faith. Oh yeah, it's not WASKCON. It's ISKCON. It will be ISKCON forever. So we're part of a great historic movement. And sometimes it's difficult for you to appreciate that, like you're on the battlefield, and you know, when you're on the battlefield, you don't see the whole picture. It's like one little battle. And, well, it's all, no. You have to see the general, Napoleon. He never was down on the field. He was up on the hill, and he was watching the whole thing. And there he was losing the battle, but there he was winning the battle. There was some, and he was like orchestrating the whole thing. So, you know, ISKCON's going through its battles, and Prabhupada's there, and he's managing it. Prabhupada told us one time that just 1% of the world became Krishna conscious, the whole situation would change. And he told Gurudas, he said, know for certain that this movement will save the world in its darkest hour. So he made it pretty easy for us. He did the pioneer work. He said one time, I have made the framework, you just fill it in. Like a coloring book. You know, you have the artist does, and then you just come, you know, you're a little kid, right? And you just put the colors, you get the credit. Oh, what a nice drawing, thank you. But what did you do? You didn't do the drawing, which is the hardest part. You took the crayon, you scribbled the colors in. And it looks good. So Prabhupada did all the work. And we're just giving it color. We're singing. We're dancing. We're having some Hare Katha. We're feasting, and we're getting credit for it. Oh. Oh, Maharaj, you've done such nice service. Why have I done? Mm-hmm. Who am I? Prabhupada, it's like he planted the seed, he watered it, he protected the tender creeper of ISKCON, and then he picked the fruit, he peeled it, he cut it into pieces, and he handed it to us. Here's this wonderful movement. Like in the beginning, it 26 seconds, he just cut the apples and distributed them. So he did the whole thing. He one time he said, here is Krishna, take him. So those who help him continue the mission, they become very dear to him. And don't worry if there's some difficulties, there's some this and there's tragedies. Like the sage told that boy, he said, don't worry. Live or die, your life is fortunate. Whatever happens to us, our fortune is set in stone. Whatever happens to us, we're going to go through some trouble. We're in the material, we have to expect so many things. But always remember that you're on the progressive path back to Godhead. Sometimes there's brambles, there's thorns on that path back to Godhead. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, the road to Braj is strewn with thorns and brambles. But just always remember that it's better going slowly, tiptoeing on the way back to Godhead than running hell-bent for leather in the wrong direction of material life. You may have your problems, the movement has problems, but we're going in the right direction and our life is completely auspicious. Like Prabhupada told me, I always, every day I think the words, Prabhupada slapped me on the back. He said, so much endeavor in this material world. But when I take you back to Godhead, everything will be easy and sublime. So that's everyone's instruction. So please, all of you sincere Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, continue giving your life and soul to Prabhupada. And the future is only bright. The Karmis have a saying, trust no future however bright. That's true. That's a real wisdom. Finally, you got it right, sir. Trust no future however bright. But in Krishna consciousness, we can trust our future because it's surely going to be bright. Even the first steps we took are so nice. How realized are any of us? We're just like bhaktas. Bhakta Indra Duna Swami. we're just aspiring devotees. But it's so nice. Imagine what it will be further down the road. And it will be. It'll all be revealed to you in due course of time. Your name, your form, your dress, your service. I don't know. What you are doing here, you will do there as well. It will all come in due course of time. So Prabhupada is the glorious master, and all his followers are the glorious servants. That's how you should see the devotees. As he is the glorious master, then those who are serving him, they're the glorious servants. So therefore, on this day, his appearance day, we're glorifying him also by glorifying you. Although this is his appearance day, in essence, by glorifying you, we are glorifying him. Because you are the product, that you are the proof of his mercy. Nice devotees, all the ISKCON devotees. That means Prabhupada is glorious. Prabhupada said, he said the duty of a leader is to take a fifth class man and make him into a first class man. So Prabhupada is doing that all over the world, continuing to do it. He was so kind, such a great soul who sports eternally in the spiritual sky, who took a few moments of his precious time to come here and be with all of us. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada's Vyas Puja Maha Mahotsava ki
jai.
Shri Shri Radha Govinda ji ki
jai.
Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki
jai.
Gulok Premdan Harinam Sankirtan Yagya ki
jai.
Gaur Premanandi. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.